You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Happy Hour with Nick Sainert and Enrique Alvarez Clary, sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Back here on the Happy Hour, 93.7, the ticket, theticketfm.com. Nick and Rico back with you. Once again, remembering Vin Scully, who passed away at the age of 94 last night. Here's a quote. So it's a quote that we don't have an audio for it. But I saw it pop up on Twitter, and I thought, man, this is truly fascinating, what the ability that Vin Scully had to kind of captivate and assess the sporting event, whichever event he was calling. And the quote says, while he was broadcasting a game in 2012, he said, "He watched a good pitch and swung at a bad one. Perhaps that's human nature."
Damn.
One of my favorite Vin Scully quotes of all time. Because if you walk away from the baseball field and you talk about life, right, it's truly just remarkable the things that Vin Scully was able to put into words and how he was able to process the sporting event that was going on in front of him and translate it to the audience watching at home or listening at home, wherever it was, right? As he says, wherever you may be. I mean, it's truly
the way he would dance beautiful with the game and dance with the crowd and his way with words, and he's just an amazing storyteller and could paint the picture so vividly.
Well, and you have to
mind
on baseball.
Yeah,
you
just
have to.
It just made you feel like you were there, and he would draw you in, and and just an artist.
It's
an artist of words.
Baseball was set up perfectly for Vin Scully to broadcast. I mean that's really the honest truth. Okay, so I mentioned before the break, Michael Helman, former Pius X Thunderbolt, former walked on, so just to kind of walk you through his career really quickly, this is just going to be a brief little mention of it. He left or graduated from Pius, walked on at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas.
Okay.
All right. Ended up, so he walked on at JUCO.
Yeah, that which is,
which
wow,
is different.
Okay.
Okay, so was under-recruited out of high school. Walked on at Hutchinson Community College in Hutchinson, Kansas, which is a pretty highly regarded junior college in the country for baseball. Ends up winning National Junior College Player of the Year, all right, after walk-on. And I might pull up his stats because they're truly fascinating. Ends up going to Texas A&M, where he played for a couple years.
Okay.
Went to A&M, then gets drafted by the Twins in 2018 in the 11th round.
Can I just like...
Yes.
Dude went from walking on at a JUCO to Texas A&M, which is a very prestigious baseball college, to getting drafted
in the 11th round.
He
so
walked on at a JUCO, dude.
Let me tell you his junior college stats here real quickly. So
how under-recruited.
These were his junior college stats. He's a utility guy, so he can play everywhere. At Hutchinson in his final year, in 60 games, he hit .487 with 17 home runs, 73 RBIs, 103 runs scored, and 30 stolen bases. Just truly, I mean,
what
If you talk about like best players to ever come out of Pius, he is the number one guy. Other than Andy Gurch, also is up there, who played in Nebraska. But in recent years, Michael Hellman is there.
Isn't there a pitcher in the majors right now?
Not that I know of.
I could be wrong.
I mean, there's Nebraska-born players, obviously.
Yeah.
So
wasn't he with the Red Sox? He got traded.
Text line would always be a help.
Yeah,
anyway, so last night, Michael Hellman is finally in AAA. He's with the St. Paul Saints right now of the Minnesota Twins, which is the AAA affiliate of the Twins. And he got called up this year. So this season in AAA, he is hitting .283 with 14 home runs, 44 RBIs, 92 hits, 69 runs scored, and 24 stolen bases. He has an OPS of .843. So last night, he's 26 years old. Last night against the Storm Chasers, Michael Hellman goes 5-for-5 with 2 home runs, a single, and 2 doubles against the Storm Chasers.
Whew.
And starts at third base. The guy is 26 years old, obviously fighting. He's not on the 40-man roster or anything. But it's truly awesome because so we're just talking baseball out of Pius for this one. Because obviously Adam True was, I believe, a football player that went out of Pius, came out of Pius.
Matt,
so, yeah.
Matt Hopp, that is who I was thinking of. I apologize.
Jake Diekman. Yes, Diekman. He just got dealt.
Yeah,
at
he
the
just
trade
got traded.
So it's pretty impressive. I just wanted to shout that out. I'll be 100% honest. I texted Hellman last night and I was like, "Hey man, you want to come on the show tomorrow?" And he's obviously his family's it lives here and everything like that. So he's doing stuff with family.
He can stop in.
I should have told him to stop in. But no, So shout out to Michael Hellman. And I'm actually heading out to the Storm Chasers game tonight to watch him play. So that'll be fun.
Let's see if he's 5-for-5
to see good old Michael Hellman. But he's he went 5-for-5 last night, 2 bombs. He went up, so comes up in the 8th inning, a triple away from the cycle, and hits a bomb. So that was what they're going to be. Actually, one of my buddies that I was actually playing PS4 with last night said, "Hey, ask him if he comes on the show, ask him would he rather have had a second home run or rather have had hit for the cycle."
That was going to be, if we would have got him on, that was going to be my question. Were you trying to hit it out, or were you,
man,
or were you just trying to get it as far
well,
as you
so
could?
So think about
it.
Would you have rather been hit a second home run or hit for the cycle?
The cycle.
Really?
The cycle. Easy.
Even though it's at AAA level.
Yeah,
even though it's at AAA level.
It's still the cycle. It doesn't matter where it's
it
at.
It is. It is still the cycle. So, okay. So I just want to shout out Michael Hellman. So
yep.
Congratulations to him. Once again, St. Paul Saints are in Omaha through the weekend, I believe. And they're playing. He went 5-for-5 last night. Vin Scully got that done. Trade deadline stuff. Now, Rico, you have a list for
all
us.
Right. I have a list from 24/7 Sports. The 10 best games in September. Now, remember.
Okay.
Now, remember, Nebraska has games in September.
All right.
In case anybody forgot, Nebraska plays in September as well. Did Nebraska make the top 10 of football game most important games in September? Text line 402-464-5685. Did Nebraska make it? If you've seen the list, don't cheat. If you haven't,
whenever you do this
yes.
thing, whenever you do this type of activity with the listeners, the same
it's usually the same answer.
Outcome
it's
always
usually
happens.
The same answer. I'll give you guys a little bit.
All right, so once again, 402-464-5685, the Honda Lincoln Hotline, the Sartor Heyman text line, as well as the video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. You can always hit us up personally, Nick_Sander or at Radio Rico AC.
And I'll give you the top four.
All right.
I'll give you the top four. Number one, Notre Dame, Ohio State. That is September 3rd. Number two, Clemson, Wake Forest, September 24th. Alabama, Texas, September 10th. And Texas A&M, Arkansas, September 24th.
I'll tell you this. Nebraska, North Dakota did not make the list.
Unfortunately, they did not.
Nebraska, North Dakota, and Nebraska, Georgia Southern did not make the list. So that leaves Nebraska, Oklahoma, and that's a bye week after Oklahoma.
It is.
So is Nebraska versus Oklahoma a top 10 game, according to 24/7 Sports, in September?
In September. Does Nebraska have a top 10 game in September? Really, it is Nebraska-Oklahoma top 10 games in September. I gave you the top four.
Which, let's be honest, that Notre Dame-Ohio State game is super exciting.
That one's going to be fun.
Exciting.
That one's going to be fun.
I actually,
the Clemson-Wake Forest game, I don't really have any feelings towards that. I mean, I'm not
Uyunglele used.
Uyunglele and whoever Wake Forest.
Sam Hartman. Dang it. Okay.
I couldn't remember.
Did you not watch QB1?
I know he's good.
Did you watch QB1 on Netflix? Well, he was part of QB1 on Netflix.
I know he's good. I just couldn't remember his name.
Sam Hartman.
Sorry.
Gee whiz.
So everybody's saying the Oklahoma game. Should be, Chase B says, it should be because football doesn't recognize the game rivalry we have with Oklahoma because we haven't been good. Augie says, I guess not. They don't respect us enough to think we have a chance against OU. A couple of people said the Oklahoma game should be top 10. I have something to tell you guys. It's not. Nebraska is not a top 10 most important game in September as the rest of the top 10 shakes out.
I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with this.
Is Wisconsin-Ohio State September 24th. Florida-Tennessee is 6th, September 24th. Miami-Texas A&M, September 17th. Utah and Florida, September 3rd. I don't think that's important at all. That's a fun game.
This
that's
next
not
one, number 9, is the one I have the most problem with.
This is not
with.
Important at all. Florida State, LSU, September 4th.
That means nothing.
Oklahoma, Georgia, September 3rd.
If we were in 2018 or Willie Taggart had just gotten the Florida State job, then I would be interested in the Florida State LSU game.
Yeah.
Like, Mackenzie Milton's not at Florida State anymore.
It's three.
Tell me who Florida State's quarterback is.
Ooh, I don't know. I couldn't tell
I have you. No idea who it is. They probably got a transfer. Hold on. Because I know I'm obviously Chuba left.
Unnamed text says Oregon, Georgia will be closer than the spread.
Jordan Travis?
In all reality, you want to know something? In all reality, you want to know which games are the most important? The conference games that are first up. So, Texas A&M, yeah. Arkansas, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Florida, Tennessee. Those are the only important games. All of the other ones are just fun. They're not important. None of it matters.
Wisconsin, Ohio State.
If Ohio State loses to Notre Dame to start off the season, but they win out the rest of the year, guess what? They're in the playoff.
Ooh, that's a fun exercise.
It does it. If Alabama loses to Texas that first game, Alabama wins out, they're in the playoff.
That's what we're talking about, though, with the playoff is...
And if Texas wins, it means nothing. They'll probably lose their next game. I don't care.
So that's what's crazy about the whole playoff discussion is if a team like Alabama or Ohio State were to lose their first game, okay, or one of these games, and then win out and finish with one loss and win as the conference champion, like Ohio State, for example, is going to get in... Partially because they're the Big Ten champion, I suppose, but another part is because of what have you done for me lately? And this is where like Nebraska gets hurt. That's where Nebraska, if they want to eventually become like an Ohio State, like a Notre Dame that's always on the fringe, right? Then you got to obviously, and this sounds super generic and super cheesy. You got to start somewhere. And a year like this season, if Nebraska gets 8 wins or 9 wins, you're not going to make the playoff. You're not necessarily going to be in the discussion for the playoff. But if you build 8 and 9 win seasons on top of each other, and then eventually you break out into an 11-win or a 12-win year, you're going to have no problem getting into the playoff because they're going to be able to look at your body of work in the last 5 years and say, all right, yeah, they've won games consistently. And, like, for example, the big caveat or the big bounce back that Nebraska's going to have this year, if Nebraska is indeed or has the opportunity to be considered for the playoff, is if it's a toss-up, they're going to go at strength of schedule. And Nebraska is struggling in strength of schedule right now, obviously, which it might help out Nebraska. It might be the reason that they're in that situation. However, with that being said, they're going to say, well, Nebraska's only in this situation because of the schedule, not because they're actually a good football team.
And can I say something about, you know, people are making their own, you know, the Nebraska-Oklahoma game of the century, the rivalry should make it a more play. It's okay, forget the rivalry, all right? Throw the rivalry out the window for this game. Do you want to know why Nebraska-Oklahoma is such an important game in September? Scott Frost's job is on the line this season. If he doesn't win more games than he loses, he probably loses his job. All right, so that's just importance on every single game this season. And Oklahoma, that's the first big game for Brent Venables in his career at Oklahoma. His first year at Oklahoma, that's the first big game. They play UTEP and Kent State to open the season. It's their first road game. It's their first Power 5 opponent. He's a first-year starting head – is a first-year head coach.
That is weird.
They have Dylan Gabriel coming off a torn ACL who transferred to UCLA and then transferred to Oklahoma. They lost their entire roster almost. This game is important for not
even
the rivalry
aspect. Offensive coordinator.
Like I said, toss the rivalry out the window. This game is important for both schools.
Imagine if – okay, so let's riddle me this just for, you know, grins and giggles or whatever. Whatever DP says, grins and giggles, right? Yeah,
so
anyway – instead of the other version of that. Yeah. Anyway, if Nebraska is 3-0 and Oklahoma is 2-0 going into Oklahoma, and Nebraska, let's just say curb stomps Oklahoma.
Destroys them.
What is the reaction in Norman? I mean, for real, and we'll let you know. We're going to have Chris Plank on our show the week of, and if Nebraska ends up curb stomping Oklahoma, we will have Chris Plank on of Sooners Radio Network.
Well, I'm on that Monday.
On right away.
I'll tell Steve.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. We're having Chris on.
This is important.
Because, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but when the whole Lincoln-Riley situation went down, like, Norman was in shambles. And now if their version of Scott Frost, if Brent Venables, who obviously previously coached at Oklahoma and now comes back as a head coach, loses his first Power 5 game to Nebraska, because that's what they're saying right now.
Scott Frost, of all people, that's
a coach that was would be 18-29 in his 4 years at Nebraska.
Moving up,
are you serious? Brent Venables lost, like that place is going to be in shambles. So Rico makes a really good point there. They bring in Brent Venables, bring in Dylan Gabriel, bring in a whole new roster.
This game is important,
and not to mention a brand new offensive coordinator in Jeff Levy from Ole Miss.
It's important. I don't care what 24/7 has to say.
So Christian and Lincoln asked this, 402-464-5685, Honda Lincoln Hotline, Starter Heyman text line. If you're just now joining us, Nick and Rico with you on the happy hour here, sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting. Video stream is also open for you guys, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Christian and Lincoln asks, how much are you guys reading into Oklahoma? If Nebraska wins, are they in the driver's seat to win the West?
No.
I would not say they're in the driver's seat. The belief in my mind, if they beat Oklahoma, that Nebraska could win the West, goes up substantially.
I don't think it moves at all for me.
Really?
Oklahoma is too different from the actual teams in the driver's seat for the West as a team, as their play style. Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Iowa play completely different styles of football. So you beating Oklahoma, it's a nice feather in your cap, but again, you have to remember, this isn't the same Oklahoma. This isn't the Lincoln Riley.
That's true.
Oklahoma. This is the new Brent Venables Oklahoma. So, if they beat Oklahoma, when they beat Oklahoma, however you want to say that, it'll be great. It'll make for a really fun week, a really fun 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, look, you got to get right back down to business, because then you're entering conference play. As long as you beat Northwestern, you know, then you're in your own, you know, your own car's driver's seat for the West. But until you go on the road or until you host one of the other Big Ten West opponents and you know, stick it to them, I think you're still, you know, sitting bucket seat in the back.
Let's talk about Oklahoma and kind of our thoughts on the Brent Venables situation and how much are we reading into Oklahoma. Let's talk about that here in a couple minutes. We'll take our final time out. You're listening to the Happy Hour on The Ticket.
Download our app by searching 93.7 The Ticket in your app store to stay in touch and listen all day long wherever you are. More of the Happy Hour is next on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.